blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 364, stanzas 1 through 4. And from out the depths I cry to thee, O let thy ear attentive be, hear thou my supplicating plea, have mercy, Lord. 1 through 4 of Psalter 364.
Thank you. scripture, we wish to read Psalm 35. But before we make confession, in the words of the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 35, a Psalm of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him? False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, eternal, great and majestic, holy and righteous, both faithful and gracious, merciful God, thou whom we do not know, except what thou revealest unto us in thy holy word, and what thou showest unto us also within our hearts. Oh, we can read in thy word, and that thou dost walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and that thou dost walk in the midst of all thy churches, whom thou dost establish here upon this world in an outward way, and wherein thou dost have thy own church, to be brought forth out of the kingdom of darkness and into thy marvelous light. And thou dost hold the seven stars, thy servants, in thy right hand. And thou dost uphold them, and thou dost keep them, and thou dost give them what is necessary, and that thou through them mayest bring in a people. Oh, could it be also in this our own flock, because out of thy mouth cometh a sharp two-edged sword. Oh, Lord, that thy word may be so unto us, even in this thy holy day, that it may have power in our hearts, and that we could not go on any more in the way that we have been born, because thy face does shine as the sun in its brightness, and there is no one that is able to stand before thy countenance, or that we may receive in our hearts a holy awe. And when we come into thy house, and when we are here before thy face, and that we might feel something of who and what we are before thee, a holy and a righteous being. And thou sayest, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Lord, then our souls also are traveling to meet thee, and we have to stand before thee, and we cannot stand before thee. Oh, show it unto us, because thou hast the keys, and thou givest those keys in the midst of thy church, and they are keys that are given, that is through the institutions that thou hast given, that thy eternal pleasures and glories may be opened unto thine elect, and that way of eternal damnation, and that is also opened unto us when we are remaining in that state in which we have been born. But thou hast the key to deliver thy people therefrom, and to bring them out of that hell and that death, and to deliver them into thy blessed communion. O Lord, show us these things, because our hearts are so worldly, and our hearts are so carnal and cleaving to the dust, and we need to be converted by thee, and for the first time, but also by renewal. And the time shows itself to be short. And when we hear of earthquakes, and when we hear of great storms, because thou hast spoken of those signs that would be coming before that the Son of Man is to be seen once again on the clouds of heaven, signs in the sun and in the moon, and upon the earth distress of nations, the sea and the earth that is roaring. And thou wilt also give that men's hearts shall fail them for fear, for looking for those things that are coming upon the earth. And thou knowest the times in which we are living, where all these things in the midst of the world are showing themselves more and more, even in some ways more than ever has been experienced in the midst of this world. And so thy word is being fulfilled, and we are given warnings time and time again that we have here no continuing city, and that we ought to seek one that is to come, and thou givest us the means for that. Oh, show it unto us, what great privilege that we have. Make us ashamed of ourselves and of our sin, and bring us to thy footstool, and give us an earnestness in our hearts, a true, a heavenly and godly desires, and that may war against all iniquity, and that may be brought to bow under the King, the heavenly King, who we say by nature, we say we will have not this man to reign over us. Remember us both young and old. Wilt thou give desires where there are none? Wilt thou revive desires where they have been? And that thou may give in this day, when thy word is to be brought once again, when thou wilt give it, the power, the unction of thy Holy Spirit, to speak and to hear. Remember all the needs and the cares in the midst of our flock, for thou knowest those that receive treatments, for the body, for the mind. Thou knowest those that must receive surgeries. Lord, wilt thou help through, and wilt thou remember and wilt take away all reason for fear, and that thou may look upon those that are expecting children, and thou knowest also the concerns that there can be. O Lord, wilt thou be on their right and on their left in thy mercy, and wilt thou supply for all the needs, for thou knowest the lives that thou hast given, and thou knowest both the end from the beginning. Oh, that thou may supply, O Lord, for thou art the giver of life, and thou art the taker of life. Wilt thou remember the widows of the congregation? Wilt thou supply for their needs day by day, in loneliness and in all decisions that must be made? And wilt thou care for those that have sorrows and griefs, that they do bear in the midst of this world? Those that have no children, remember where there are difficulties in marriages. Remember when there are difficulties in businesses. And that thou may bring all these things to lead us to thy footstool, and that we may know what it is to receive from thee help, and that thou knowest where that we are, and that our the need of our souls may also be bound upon our hearts, and that we might find that thou art forever near, and that thou art the helper of the poor and of the needy. Oh, that such may find a place at thy footstool, even as it was in the days when thou wast here upon this world. And when they did come, or when they did hear from others, how merciful that thou art, and how gracious that thou art. And then they did come, Lord, with all of their iniquity. And then they did come with all of their guilt. And they did come with all the natural needs. And then they were laid before thee, and all the compassion of thy heart did come out when thou had disregarding all what men would say, and thou didst have mercy upon the poor. Oh, look on us also then in this afternoon. And thou knowest where that they are that cannot help themselves. And Lord, that is thy own work to make us so. And because we are ever helpers of ourselves. But we need to be made a poor by the afflictions that thou givest unto us. And that we may be brought in the dust of self-abasement. And that we might receive from thee everything that we stand in need of, both for time and for eternity. And do forgive and take away our many sins. Strengthen us for our labor in this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 398, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And the Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 398. beloved congregation, Achan stole a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a golden wedge of 50 shekels weight. He took and hid them in the earth. He did that secretly, also with his family. And then he had to learn something, he had to experience something, maybe, that we have in our life experienced something very much the same. And that is that there is nothing secret. That what we thought we did outside of the eyes of all was actually under the eye of the Lord, who has seen everything. That is what Achan experienced. And the Lord would bring Achan to judgment. The Lord said to Joshua, he must gather all the children of Israel, and they must come together and cast the lot. What is the lot, children? That is, sometimes we do that. We take a name out of a hat, or we flip a coin, we say, and then we look for what? The world says that is all by chance. Is that by chance? Just read that about Achan. Because then they had to cast the lot, and they did that tribe by tribe, and the tribe that Achan was in was taken by that lot. And then they had to cast the lot family by family, and then Achan's family was taken. And finally they have brought them man by man, and thus three times. So who then is guiding the lot? Say, that is the Lord. And then what a solemn thing, because that man, he had to come before Joshua, and he had to stand there before Joshua in judgment. That is, in front of all Israel. What a solemn moment that is. And then Joshua said to him in front of everyone, tell us now what thou hast done. The Apostle Paul, he writes that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Do you believe that? Because we see all around us that men are dying all around us, and we feel it in our bodies that they are dying bodies the older that we become. And then after death, he says, is the judgment. Is that the same with the animals? No, because we are not animals. Because we are moral creatures and we are rational creatures. We have a mind. And because the Lord has created us so highly, then we will be brought before Him. We have pangs of guilt in our conscience. You have that too, I think. And every one of those is saying to us, is a testimony in our heart, that we are soon going to stand in judgment before the Lord. And then the Lord's eyes, they are as a flame of fire like Achan, and he can point us out. Think about Gehazi. And then Elisha said to him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And what did he say, children? Thy servant went nowhither. Was that true? No, that was not true. He was lying. But it did not help him. Why did it not help him? Because there's nothing secret. Because the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro over all the earth, the Bible says. And there is nothing and that is hid from the Lord. Thus, how are we going to stand there? How are we going to stand there after our death in that judgment before the Lord? Does our conscience accuse us? Does our conscience condemn us? Can you now rid yourself when you go to bed in the evening? Can you rid yourself of an accusing conscience? That no one else in the whole world knows what it is. But you feel yourself to be standing before the Lord. And what do you do with that pang? Do you just try to silence that? You say, I will go to sleep and tomorrow will be another day. That is to postpone it, isn't it? And postponing, congregation, is very dangerous. Why? Because David says there is but a step between me and death, surely. And that is true. But it's not necessary to postpone it either. Why not? We hope to see that this afternoon with the Lord's help out of the portion that we have read, Psalm 35, in the last part of the third verse. Psalm 35, verse 3, the last part. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. So far, the words of our text. David seeks a promise of the heavenly advocate. First, the person sought. And second, the promise sought. David seeks a promise of the heavenly advocate. First, the person sought. And second, the promise sought. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Those are the first words of this psalm. That is how David begins this psalm. Plead my cause. What does that mean, to plead? That actually speaks. It is an allusion. So David does not say, he alludes. He does not say that outright. But he is using words that are used in a court or of a court, that is of a lawyer, of an advocate who is standing in the court and going to speak for someone else, and he is going to plead for him. And then he says, strive, strive against them that strive with me. So that word strive, very similarly to the word plead in the original, they are both words that are being used in a court and when there is, as it were, a court battle. So he speaks about strife, and then he's speaking about a certain kind of strife that is taking place in a legal way, as it is. What are the circumstances? We don't know exactly the circumstances when this psalm was written, but in a very special way, it brings us in all that we read, in our thoughts, to that wilderness of Engedi. And then in Engedi, boys and girls, we know that Saul, that David's father-in-law, that is Saul the king, was fighting, he was striving, he was persecuting David, and he wanted to kill David. He would, as we read, swallow David up. And he came after David in that wilderness and is chasing him, and he has brought many people with him, an army with him, not an army like David would have, no, a few men, but Saul brings many soldiers with him. So Saul has a great advantage. And then as king, also he also has spies. We think about Doeg. What a great advantage that David has. He has his men placed here and there. And those that are serving that same prince of darkness that Saul is serving. And so David is in a great way of trial and affliction and persecution. And David feels very much his weakness. His enemies, they compass him about. They are all around him, and David cannot protect himself. And then David, he says, and now surely I will one day perish at the hand of Saul. He could not see his way out of the circumstances that he has brought in this world. And these enemies, David's enemies, are very false. Because we read, "For without a cause, they hid for me their net in the pit, which without a cause they have digged for my soul." Without a cause. So in this, David is very much a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus has himself quoted this psalm concerning himself, that he said that they hated me, as it is written, he says, that they hated me without a cause. And that is what David has to experience. And David may plead with the heavenly court. He may plead with that heavenly judge, the all-knowing God. "They are mine enemies wrongfully," he says. "They reward me evil for good." May you ever plead with the all-knowing God, with the judge of heaven and earth that knows all things. You say, well, then you need for that a good conscience, don't you? Because otherwise you do not dare to go there. Yes, but you say David was a sinful man. Was he not? How would he ever dare? Because David also cannot stand before God. David, if he had to come himself before God, would be condemned. How can he appeal to the judge of heaven and earth? David knows that too. Oh yes, David is very well aware of that. But David's guilt, that is between the Lord and his soul, and that has nothing to do with these enemies. No, they cannot enter into that guilt that is personal with David, but they want to add to David's guilt before the Lord. David says, "False witnesses did rise up, and they laid to my charge things that I knew not." Then they are seeking his downfall, his condemnation. "They opened their mouth wide against me, and they said, 'Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it.'" This and that, "We have seen it, let us bring it to the judge." Because then David can be condemned before the judge, and then we don't have to deal with David anymore. Do you have, congregation, enemies? Enemies. We can have enemies in this world. David had them in this world. But in a special way, the Bible speaks about soul enemies. And David says, "They have digged a pit for my soul. They have digged a pit for my life." And our life is more than just an outward life, isn't it? That true church has soul enemies. We read in God's word that when Joshua was standing, Joshua the high priest, he is standing before the Lord. He is standing there in that court. Then we read that Satan is there. And Satan is standing there to, we read, resist him. Now why did Satan need to come there? Satan did not need to come there. Was not Joshua in filthy garments already? Did not Joshua already have his own filthy garments? Would not Joshua be condemned before the Lord? Why did Satan need to come into that court. Do you know what Satan did not want? Satan knew that Joshua had his own filthy garments. And do you know, young people, what Satan does? He first gets you to make your garments filthy. And then he points to those filthy garments and says, now you cannot be saved anymore. So that is the way of the devil. And you try him out and you will find him to be so. But when Satan is standing there, and Satan knew Joshua had his own filthy garments, so why does he then come in that court? Do you know what Satan did not want to see? He did not want to see that there would be grace in the court. Grace in the court. Because the Lord also knew about those filthy garments. But do you know what the Lord said to Satan? He said, is not this a brand that is plucked out of the fire? This is a guilty man, yes. But this is a man to whom I am going to show mercy. It is a man to whom I am going to show grace. He is a vessel of mercy. Satan tries to resist that. You ever try to resist that in your heart? And to lay before you all the reasons why you should not go on your knees and why you should not seek for that grace that the Lord gives to all his people, and that he is laying against you certain charges that would make you to turn away from that throne of grace. It is one thing, congregation, to have Christ revealed unto our soul. It is another thing to receive from the Lord the application of the grace of the Lord in our heart. That is, in a personal way. We say there are certain steps, there are certain points that the Lord is bringing his people unto. And now we have a picture before us. And what is that picture? That is the picture of a court and someone that is having false witnesses brought against him. That is in order that that person might be condemned. And now, if we have to deal with the court, that is, even in an outward way, then we are going to experience certain things, right? If young people, and then the officers come to your door, and they say, well, there is a man, there is a woman, there is someone here. We want him. The court wants him. There is now a summons. So what is going to happen? Think about that for a moment, just in a natural way. Are there not certain steps? Are there not certain points in this? That the Lord, he is comparing the way that he is dealing with his own children. And so when you receive such a summons, then you say, well, I need to go into that court. And soon you are going to say, but I cannot stand there myself in that court, can I? I cannot speak myself before that judge, can I? Oh, then to hear of one that can go in for you, that is another point, isn't it? Oh, to apply to that lawyer, to that advocate, that is something else yet again, isn't it? And to receive a promise from that advocate that, yes, your case, I will take that up for you and I will speak in that case for you. That is something else, isn't it? And then it is another thing for that court to come and that lawyer to stand there in the court and to speak and to defend your case. That is something else, isn't it? And then it is another thing for the judge to speak. Then the case is finished. So all these things They are all, not that we say all of them, are experienced in such a distinct way in the case of every one of God's children, no. But they are not things, congregation, to be overlooked. No, there are things. The experiences of the true church of God are real. The experiences of their soul, they are just as real as all the experiences that are in our own life. And all those things being involved, where is the beginning? Well, the beginning, it begins with that need, doesn't it? That need for that advocate that needs to be felt, doesn't it? In the heart of a person that needs to be experienced by nature, we do not need an advocate, do we? Do you? Do you even labor? Do you even labor with your case? Seeing congregation, believing congregation, that we must appear before God. That when we die, we have to stand in the judgment. Are there those that are now concerned about this? That you say, I am not able to stand in that judgment all by myself. Bunyan's Pilgrim, he says, I cannot die and I do not dare to do the second. I do not dare to stand in that judgment seat before God. What do we do ourselves? We first begin with evasions. We say, with Elisha's servant, Gehazi, we say, thy servant went not whither. It is not true. We evade. We lie about it. Is that so, boys and girls? Yeah, what lives in your heart lives in my heart. That is how I know you, because I know a little bit about me. Because we have that same fallen heart, all of us together, your mother and your father and all of us. We are all born that same wicked heart, an evil heart, a heart that needs to be renewed. That is why we pray the Lord that he would give to us a new heart. But did the Lord now ever take away all your evasions? Did the Lord ever point you out and say, I know where you have been, and I know what you have done, and I know who you are, and I know what is now living in your heart? Oh, did the Lord ever show you a need? Did the Lord ever show you a need for an advocate, that there would be one that would stand for you? In the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Easter, then the Father has raised from the dead his only begotten Son, upon whom he had laid the iniquity of his church. And now when he raised him from the dead, that was the first step of his exaltation. That he may do what? The Father has declared himself satisfied. Satisfied with the payment that his Son has made for his people. That he may receive him afterwards up into heaven. Into that heavenly court where all that his people have come, will come. And there that he has declared him to be the advocate, where he will bring in the blood, the payment, the complete payment for his church, that he will bring that into that court of heaven. Oh, did the Lord ever show you? Oh, especially on that day of Easter. Did the Lord ever show you that there the Lord has raised up an advocate? One who is able to stand in the breach. We read about Moses that he tried to stand in the breach, didn't he? Oh, he said to the Lord what? The children of Israel had sinned against the Lord. and they had a sacrifice to an idol. They had rejected the Lord. The Lord says, I will destroy them. I will make of thee, Moses, a great nation. And Moses pleads with the Lord. He says, Lord, blot me out of thy book. He says, I will stand in between. Take me, my soul, but spare these people and cast me away. Did the Lord say he would do that? No. No. And why not? Moses cannot be. Moses was an advocate of intercession. He could intercede. He could pray for someone else. But he could not bring in the payment for them. He was not a mediator of reconciliation. Christ, when he rose from the dead, and he is going to now go before his Father, will go there as both a mediator of intercession and as a mediator of reconciliation. That he will actually stand in the place of his own people. If the Lord has ever shown this to you, in the need of your soul, what will your soul do? Oh, then your soul is going to begin to seek that advocate. Then you have seen that advocate. Then it is shown to you. You say, he is the one I need. Because if we have one that cannot only intercede for me with his prayer, and one that can actually pay my price, well, that is the only thing that I stand in, and that is everything that I stand in need of. Do you know what David needs? Do you know what David needs? David needs grace. He needs grace. Do you need grace? If grace does not stand, come into that court with David, then David must be condemned. If there is no grace in the court, and now you know what the Lord shows to his people, that there is only one that can bring grace in the court. And who is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring grace in the court. Thus, congregation, if we may have him as the advocate for our soul, then you understand that we have everything. Oh, if our soul may see that in its great need, then what is our soul going to do? Oh, it will say, mercy is my only hope. Mercy is my only plea. It is going to seek everything from him. It is going to apply, we would say, to the mediator. But now it is one thing to apply to the mediator. It is one thing to seek and to ask. That is another thing to hear from that advocate. We see that here in our second thought. David says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. That is another request, isn't it? That is a different request. We all know that in a natural way. Because if the advocate goes into that court for us, but he does not tell me about it, then still I am safe, right? Then still I am safe. But what am I not? I am not comfortable because I don't know it. So when the advocate would go, that is for my safety. But for that advocate to speak to me, and to tell me he will go, that is now for my comfort. And so David begins this psalm. He says, plead my cause. Oh, he is beseeching that advocate to go into that court for him with his blood, with those holy arguments that are arguments that the Father cannot turn away. There is no one that is able, not the devil himself, that is able to resist the arguments of this advocate. How do we know that? Because of Easter. Because the Father himself raised him from the dead. Thus the Father himself has accepted that blood. And thus if that blood may be upon us, oh, that is now all we need. Oh, to plead for him to go in for us. Oh, that poor soul, he sees that when the Lord reveals it to him. And therefore he beseeches him. But when David says, say unto my soul, thou art my salvation. Now he wants what? Well, now he wants to hear it. Now he wants the comfort of it, that he may know also that the Lord is going to do it for him. He desires to hear from that advocate, that the advocate will take up David's case also before that judge, before all of his enemies. So you understand that is a different matter. That is now not for the safety, but for the comfort of the soul of David. O Lord, wilt thou say unto my soul, thou art my salvation. Let us sing 300, 1, 9, and 11. O God, whom I delight to praise, to thee my cry for help I raise. Be thou my friend and advocate when foes assail with bitter hate. 1, 9, and 11 of 300.
Thank you.
unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Say it unto me. What the Lord says is very, very important to David. Is that important to us too? What the Lord says, because what the Lord says is sure. What the Lord says is certain. What the Lord says is a source, a very good, a well-grounded source of hope, an expectation, because what the Lord says is true. Oh, you say, boys and girls, what my father says, that I can hope upon because my father will do it. But it can be that your father cannot do it. But what the Lord says he will do. And thus David wants to hear this from the Lord. The Bible is the word of the Lord. That is what the Lord says. Is that important to us? Is that received by us? The Holy Scriptures as the word of the Lord that is coming to every one of us, of course. It is coming, of course, to all of our ears, but still, that remains for us then objective, doesn't it? Simply the word of God until it is applied to us. That we say that it is brought into our soul, that it becomes personal. And this is what David is asking the Lord for. He needs more than what is just objective. David wants the Lord to address him. He wants to say it to David himself. Do you need that too? Because it can be that the Lord will advocate for your father or your son or your daughter that is sitting next to you. And not for you. Does that now concern us? Because we read in the Bible, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. So is that now a concern for our soul? Whether the Lord is going to stand for us in that judgment. David desires to hear this from the Lord for the comfort of his own soul. Would that be a comfort to you? If the Lord would so say this also to you? Oh, do your enemies make you afraid? Soul enemies? And what do they come against? Oh, they are coming against grace. Oh, grace to who? To me. Bible speaks about them like dogs. They are barking dogs. What are they saying? Yes, that case, that was what the Lord took up. Or that one the Lord took up. But what case do we all know best? That is our own, right? And then what does the Lord say? He says, but your case is different. Your case is peculiar. Your case is worse than all those other cases that the Lord does advocate for. And so for you, there is no hope. For you, there is no mercy. You know what David says? He says, O Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation, that I will take up the case for you. Does the Lord actually do that? Does the Lord speak then unto the soul of a person? Does he do that, young people? What do you think? Because there are many people, when we say this, when we explain this, there are many people that are mocking with us. when we say this. They say, you people are waiting for something that is never going to happen. You people are waiting for something that the Lord does not do, that He does not say in His Word that He does. Because the Lord has given us His Word, and that Word is now complete. And now we have that revelation of that Word. Is that true? Of course that is true. Of course that is true. We do not deny that at all. But then, congregation, we must be very clear about what we are speaking when we speak about these things. Because it is easy to say that that Word is now complete. And now what is the application? The application is that you are commanded just to believe it. That is the application. Said as if you are able to do it. Said as if that you can do that in your own strength. And congregation, that is a lie that is very, very deceptive, and it is not the truth, young people. Do you know what that is? When we say it as if in such a way, that is Arminianism. That is what our fathers have fought against. That is what the canons of Dort were written for. Because Arminianism does not distinguish between the external call to believe, repent and believe. That external call does not distinguish between that and the internal call. And when we do not distinguish that, then we preach Arminian. Do you listen? Do you hear that? Will you listen for that? When there are all kinds of strange spirits that are going around in the world and on your social media, in the times in which we live, all fighting against that blessed truth that the Lord is giving grace unto His afflicted and poor people, that they may trust in the name of the Lord. David, he says, say unto my soul, what is he asking for? He is asking for the Lord to do something. He is asking the Lord to say something. Because it is when the Lord says something to my soul, oh, then faith can receive it. But you cannot receive what is not given unto you. Is it not simple? That is the experience. That is the experience in a natural way. That is also the experience in a spiritual way. You say, does the Lord actually do this? Does He speak unto the soul of a person? We say today, in that New Testament time, indeed He does. Do you believe that? You believe that the Lord is still alive? Behold, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Now we need to know what that means. How does the Lord do that? To speak unto the soul of a person, because in the Old Testament, say that was in a certain way by the Urim and the Thummim. We don't know exactly what they were and how the Lord spoke through them. And then the Lord would come sometimes. He came to Abraham in the form of a person. And he would come sometimes by an angel. Sometimes the Lord would speak to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He spake to them in dreams. Does the Lord do that anymore? No. We should not ask for that anymore. Oh, do not ask for it. Oh, just read in the book of Revelations what John saw and how that he fell at his feet as dead. If the Lord's face is shining, His countenance is shining as the brightness of the sun, then do not think that we will be able to stand before him if he appears before us in his majesty. No. No, the Lord is not appearing that way anymore in the times in which we are living. How is he speaking? He is speaking, congregation, through his word. Through his word. But that does not mean that it remains objective. Not at all. But the Lord brings that word subjectively in our heart. How does he do that? He does that by his spirit. What does David say? He says, I will hear what the Lord my God will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people. He will speak it. How will he speak? He will speak it in their heart. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, what does Paul say? He says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Thus the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament time, is very, very clear that the Lord is speaking and making his word personal and subjective. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. That is now what David is beseeching the Lord for. When he says, Lord, say it now. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And now when the Spirit of the Lord is bearing witness with our spirit, then there are two spirits. It is our spirit and it is the Spirit of the Lord. And they bear witness. What does it mean? What is witness? A witness sees something, doesn't it? And the witnesses agree. That is my spirit and the Spirit of the Lord. They agree one with the other. They are one. It's more than notion. Something is known. Something is felt in your heart. Now what do these two spirits witness together? Well, the Spirit of the Lord witnesseth with our spirit. In the first place, concerning the need of our soul, the anxiety of our soul. Does the Spirit of the Lord witness with your spirit about anxiety that is in your soul? You know what David says? He says, O God, thou knowest my foolishness. Thou knowest my foolishness. And my sin is not hid from thee. It's the Old Testament. It's what Paul is speaking about when he says that the Spirit of the Lord is witnessing with his spirit. Thus does the Spirit of the Lord witness with your spirit about your grief. Not only about your sin, that he sees where we go, what we do, what we think, what we believe, what our carnal heart is, but does he witness the tears that maybe do not flow over on the outside of my face, but that are flowing over on the inside in my heart? Does the Spirit of the Lord witness of these things with your own spirit? David here also complains about his enemies. He says, this thou hast seen, O Lord. Thou hast seen it, O Lord. I have seen it. I have felt it. And he went on his knees and he said, Lord, thou hast seen it too. O two spirits that know the same thing. They are witnessing to the same thing. Now what is the Lord doing? And there is that witness from on high of what is going on in my soul. Oh, then congregation, the Lord is bringing some fitting word. Out of his holy word, the revelation of his word, some fitting word. He is witnessing that word in our own heart. The Lord ever witness. We do not leave, we leave all this and the way that happens unto the Lord. The Lord is so free. And that is why every case is different. How the Lord is working through his providences. And how that the Lord is bringing, not other words, no. But how that the Lord is bringing his own word by his Spirit. In that great need which was witnessed by the Lord and by me. And now how the Lord is witnessing with his own word in my soul. The Lord emptying and then the Lord filling. The Lord bringeth low and then the Lord lifting up. The Lord killing and the Lord making alive. Everything going on in my soul that is witnessed between the Lord and myself. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. What does David want to feel? He wants to feel power. He wants to feel the power of the word of the Lord within himself. Do you ever desire to feel that? Power. Because if we ever felt it, oh, then we are going to be seeking that the Lord will give power in our soul again. How do we know if there is power? What is power? What is that, young people? What is power? Say, we speak about horsepower, don't we? You have one horse, you have one horsepower. If you have two horses, you have two horsepower. And why more horsepower? Because it can do more. And if you have a car and there's so many horsepower, and that car has more horsepower, that truck, right? And what good is that power? Because it moves, doesn't it? Right? So what is power? Power is the ability to do work, to get something done, to move something. That is power. And now David wants to feel power. Where does he want to feel that power? Here. Here. You ever want to feel power there? You ever come through the door? Do you come through the door today? Say, Lord, let me feel some power here. Because it is dead here. It is so, so dead. I have no feeling. I have no desire for thee. I do not love thee. Maybe a work that was felt many years ago and I do not feel it anymore. Oh Lord, that I might feel power, that thou wouldst move me, that thou wouldst move my affections, change my affections, that thou would move my will, that I could have a new will, a will that loves God, that makes a choice for thee, that is departing from all the iniquity that is in this world. Power. Now power is felt in different ways, right? We read about Elijah, and then there was a wind, and then there was the earthquake, and there was fire. The Lord was not in it. He didn't feel the power. And then there was a voice. Still, small voice. Then he took his mantle and he wrapped his face in the mantle. What does it mean to feel power? That is not, young people, as we see it so often today, in many outward ways, with much external flamboyance. No. You know where a person experiences power? When he's sitting right there, where you are, quiet, listening. And then there is the need. And then there is power. Because there is a witness in heaven. And he witnesses what my need is. And then he brings in his providence some word out of his holy word. And he brings that so sweetly into my soul. Then it is so fitting to me. It is so absolutely fitting to me. The Lord knows it. He is the witness. And I am the witness. Just like a glove on my hand, which fits so perfectly, finger for finger, then there is power. What is the power? Oh, there is power in the suitability. The suitability between the glove and the hand. It is power between the suitability of sin and grace. You ever feel that? Oh, how they go together. Oh, the Lord a witness of the sin of my heart and of my life. And now the blessed suitability. The Lord is the witness. The Spirit of the Lord witnessing with my spirit what that has now done for my soul in that moment when I was on my knees in my inner chamber. And when the Lord brought back a word from that sermon from 2 weeks ago, from a year ago, did not touch me then. There I was on my knees. And there I was pouring out my soul unto the Lord. And the Lord brought that word back unto me. And that came in with such power, such sweetness. Oh, it moved me. It changed my life. It changed my view. It changed my very heart. Oh, then you feel something. You know what you feel? You feel how close the Lord is. How close the Lord is. You say, the Lord hears me. He is so near to me. That makes you stand in awe. And then you say, oh, he comes so gently unto such a wretched creature as I am. Oh, not with that angel that I have to fear. Oh, but he comes with such grace that he makes my heart to melt. Power. What kind of power does it have? It has a convincing power. And one moment you are convinced. Oh, you are convinced it is the Word of God. No one can take that away from you. Oh, you are convinced that what the Lord says in that word is the very truth and that the Lord indeed is going to do it. It is congregation, a power that overcomes. It takes over all your fears, all your anxieties, all for a moment. David says he will speak peace unto his people. Do you know what that is? Just for a moment, peace in my heart. Because of the power that the Lord is coming with, David says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard and delivered him out of all his troubles. You think about the sea, boys and girls. It is a raging sea. And then the Lord spoke, and there was a great calm. Is that power? All that is great power that the Lord is giving his church to experience in their own heart. That is why David says this. He says, Lord, say this unto my soul. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. That is what David wanted. That is now what David needed. When all those dogs, when all those false witnesses, they are speaking unto him. He says, Lord, wilt thou stand for me? Wilt thou go for me in that court? Wilt thou bring there that blood that thou hast revealed to me that is sufficient for all mine iniquities? So that is a people. They are still standing before the trial. Oh, they have been summoned, but they are still standing before that trial. And what are they looking for? They are looking for a promise, because they still have to wait. The trial is not yet, but there is so much anxiety, and that has, and that way, that advocate that has been revealed to them, oh, that they may beg of him that he would stand and take up their case, but now also that he would give him a promise, give me a promise. They would speak unto my soul and tell me that he is going to go into that court for me. So the revelation, congregation, that is not the application. No. David says, my soul is among lions. That is the way it is in that true church of God. And that is why he says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. That is now the longing of the true church, beginning of the world to the end of the world. Are you also among them? Amen. Oh Lord, remember us and those that do cry with thy servant. Plead my cause. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, thou sayest it in thy word. There are those that want to hear it from thy mouth, and thou still doest it today. And many do mock, O Lord, but if thou wilt give it, then thou givest us the comfort of it. Oh, then thou givest us the truth of it. Oh, then thou givest a heart that may acknowledge thee for it, and that may trust in thee, and take away all our unbelief, because we have no faith except thou givest it unto us. Oh, teach us, Lord, these things. Put away the workings of the devil himself to deceive, and that we may be delivered with our children from ourselves and from our sin and from this world. Be with us in this week. Keep us in this thy holy day, and give us desires in our soul and to experience these things, and to hear from thee, and to use the means which thou givest that we may hear from thee. Help us in the labors of this week, each one in our place in this world, wherein thou commandest us to labor for 6 days. Give us the strength and health, therefore, and care in a special way for all that are in need. For Jesus' sake, amen. 232 is our closing psalter. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1, 2, and 3 of 232. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.